They had Jews who also called themselves God's people, who were not believers. They rejected Jesus of Nazareth as the Messiah, pursuing them. They were the primary persecutors of their fellow Jews, who are also the people of God, but they also call themselves Christians. And so you have Jews of the Old Testament who call themselves people of God but rejected Jesus of the Nazareth, hunting down fellow Jews who call themselves Christians. And some of them could be their own friends, family members and loved ones and relatives. And so they needed to understand the many different vicissitudes of life, the challenges and the difficulties of standing up for Christ in the midst of such unjust treatment, loss of friendship, and sometimes by even the loss of loved ones. And it hurts. Wounds that are invisible, but wounds of the heart, the emotion, the mind, they are much, much more painful than that of the physical. I'm sure you have experienced such pain before. But our own loved ones do not want to walk in faith, and they would rather live in sin, and it hurts. We need wisdom. We need to understand how to interpret and respond and react to the many different challenges of life. And so what the Word of God says here in verse 5, in the midst of such unjust treatment, if any of you lack wisdom, of course the you there does not refer to every individual on earth. The you there in this context refers to the Jewish Christian, Jewish believers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it is not for those who do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and as Savior. This, if any one of you, the you there would be Christians. If you lack wisdom, if you do not understand what you are going through right now, some of you might be facing the fear of loss of job. Some of you might be facing an illness on top of this fear of the coronavirus. Some of you might be having children who are teenagers who are rebellious. All sorts of issues, challenges in life. And we do not know how to react and respond to each and every one of them, because very often when we have problems, they don't simply drizzle. They rain cats and dogs. Many of them all occur at the same time. And so God says, if any one of you lack wisdom, if you need wisdom, you do not know how to understand how to react and respond in holiness as a child of God in what you are going through right now, all you need to do is ask. That's what God says. Let him ask of God. He is your heavenly Father. Just ask him. And he will give to all, liberally, all men, all Christians, liberally, freely, generously. He's not going to hold back. Why would he? They saved you when you were his enemies. Now that you are his child, he deliberately left you behind in a world that is deadly and dangerous for your physical well-being and your spiritual well-being. How will he not want to help you? He is your commander-in-chief. He is your loving heavenly Father. He would be more happy to help you than we are to. And that's why he says, I will give to you liberally whatever you ask to help you understand what you're going through in order to help you hold on to your spiritual well-being and be a holy witness for me, God says. I will not rebuke you. I will not scold you and upbraid it not. He is not a fearsome, fearful, scary heavenly Father. Every child of God who cries to him for understanding, whatever pain, whatever hurt, whatever difficulty you are going through, he will give it to you. And it shall be given. That is his promise. All you need is ask. That's why the title is Wisdom, a gift awaiting, waiting for you. It's there, right in front. God doesn't have to go out and shop for it. It's already all wrapped up, placed in front of every believer. All you need to do is to ask, then it will be freely and liberally given to me by God. And we have to ask. If you do not ask, you will not receive it. Why? Why can't God just simply give me without asking? God could. But you and I know one a real problem. And that real problem is, if God were to just simply help us, give us the acumen to interpret and to understand the many difficulties in life, and then you are able to do it, overcome it, understand it. But if you do not ask, you will not know that it is from your Heavenly Father. And then when your problem is resolved, apparently by itself, by your own ability, by your own acumen, your own cleverness, as it were, what will happen? The problem is bright and evident. The problem is we think that we can solve our problems without God's help, without the Lord Jesus Christ leading us, guiding us, without the Spirit of God whispering peace, directing us, helping us. That's not what we ask. And then very soon, the solution comes. The wisdom comes. The ability to understand and interpret the problems that you are facing. How to deal with this difficult person. Once you receive and experience a solution to that problem and the problem is resolved, after you have asked, what do you think will be the natural outcome? I'm sure many of us have experienced that before. Naturally, we will be very thankful to God. We'll be very grateful to God. And by that, we are now drawn closer to Thee. That was exactly why God allowed that temptation to come. Remember last week, this temptation is not sinful in itself. It's not like the temptation to fall into the sin of adultery. That kind you flee when you run. But these are the kind that you're already in it. So in itself, it is not a sinful experience, but it can become a sin if we do not react and respond in faith. Because God will send all these trials and difficulties in life, not to drive us farther away from Him, but to drive us closer to Him. And when we are closer to the world, naturally we are farther away from the world. So when you ask, you become drawn closer to the Lord, and then when the Lord helps you through a difficulty, you have experienced the grace and the blessedness of the dearness of your Heavenly Father in your life. We need that. We need that now more than ever before. For example, you know the doctrine of the sovereignty of God. Know it well. Someone was asked, explain to me. Well, sovereignty of God means God controls my life. That's correct, but God not only controls your life, God controls everyone and everything that impacts your life. And these people that impact your life, they don't even have to be believers. And God will control them. They can't hurt you or harm you or touch you without your Heavenly Father's permission. That's the sovereignty of God. Your boss cannot fire you, no matter what kind of exercise that he wants to do because of the difficulty the company might be facing. If God wants you to be in that company, he can't touch you. You are in that company not because of him, but because of your Heavenly Father who opened the door for you, and no one can shut the door without your Heavenly Father's permission. And so if they have this rumor of a retrenchment exercise in your company, those who are non-Christian, they do not have this doctrine, this understanding of the sovereignty of God, which is everyone, including unbelievers who impact my life, my Heavenly Father controls them. They don't have that. You have, and therefore, you continue to react and respond in peace in your heart. And whether it is going to include you in the retrenchment, it does not matter. And even if it comes, you don't receive it as from that human boss. It's from my Heavenly Father. He is the one who opened this door for me to join this company. And now he is the one who has closed this door and moved me out. And he will have another place that is far better for me to see a holy witness for him. I just need to be still and to trust him. And so you will not panic. He will not run around in fear like a helpless chicken, do not know where to go. And so your unbelieving colleagues will look at you. How come you are so at peace? Why are you not worried like us? Why are you able to remain so calm and contented? That will open the door for you to share the gospel, to let them know about what it means to be a Christian, to become a child of God. That God will not only look after me, but He will take care of my family, my wife and my young children. And what He has taught me to do is to first His kingdom and His righteousness, so that I will continue to be a holy witness for Him and trust in Him to take care of all my physical well-being, as He has assured me that He will do. And I trust Him. This is just an example, one tiny little example of turning knowledge into wisdom. And the knowledge is the doctrine of the sovereignty of God, not only controlling human beings, but including the sun, the rain, the moon, the virus as well. So don't be afraid. If you are fearful of being afflicted by this virus, especially if you are one or in the front line, and you are a Christian, a doctor or a nurse, rest in the Lord. Your Heavenly Father ordained, predestinated, knew you even before the beginning of this world. That's how unique and precious you are. He equipped you, betrayed you. He made you to become who you are as a medical staff, whether you're a doctor or a nurse or trained in whatever skill. And you are now called to be the front line. Trust in the Lord. Of course, take every precaution. But know that your Heavenly Father will not allow this virus to afflict you without His permission. And even if you get it, trust in Him. And even if through the virus the Lord has to call you home through this virus, you don't have to be afraid. Your family doesn't have to be afraid. Continue to look to Him and trust Him. Because absent from the body, present in the Lord. And the Lord will know what is best even for your family. He will take care of your family even in your absence. So whatever happened, whatever it is, we trust in the Lord. Because our physical time here on earth is in His hands. How much time we have, how long we have, it's in His hand. That's the doctrine of the sovereignty of God. It covers every part of our lives. Especially the day we are born and the day He says, the time of service and witness for me is up. Come boom, my good and faithful servant. Houston. Application of the many wonderful truths and doctrines that God has given to us. But you must not only just simply ask. It's not anyhow ask kind of a thing. That's why the next verse tells us you must ask in a manner that is very steady. Very steady. That keep asking faith. Nothing wavering. It can neither waver back and forth. Trust, don't trust, trust, don't trust. One minute when you trust, next moment when the trial becomes so severe and so great, you stop trusting, you stop believing, you panic. You can't ask like that. You must ask in faith whereby your faith is steady and calm and connected. And it is not going to waver. It's not going to move. It's not going to budge. No matter how you are pushed, you remain firm and steady and rooted in your position. No other trust in my Lord. No matter what happened, I will not stop trusting in Him. That's what it means. Be steady. Very steadily throughout the entire trial. And for us at this juncture, today is the first day of the 30-day, 1 month, where all of us will have to store hope. Be steady in your faith, in your trust. Then waver. For he that wavereth is like a wave from the sea driven with the wind and tossed. We've seen how a wave move. It can't move on its own. It depends on the wind. Sometimes when the wind blows from right to left, the wave doesn't be moved from right to left. Back to front, you handle it back to front. Left to right, it just move. And it just keep on moving. It's never stationary. That's the nature of a wave. The moment is stationary, the wave doesn't exist. The nature of wave is that it never stops moving. And so it's a very good illustration that James used, God used to teach us. after the way. If one moment you believe that, when you don't believe, you are no different from the way. And your faith cannot be like that way. Uncertain, shook. It has to be steady. Rock solid. No matter how the challenges of life twist and turn, you do not know what this month it's going to be like. But for all of us, it's a brand new experience to be locked up in our own home, like someone under house arrest. Slightly better than those who are under quarantine, slightly better than those who have received this stay-home notice, because we are still permitted to go out and buy groceries and buy food or do some exercise, but not for that. But we are not allowed to do many of the things that we used to do in terms of Christian fellowship. Coming to each other's home for a meal, for Bible studies, all these have been suspended. And we pray and hope, of course, like everybody else, that within this month of circuit breaker experience, it will work. It will break the cycle of every day we need about 30 people, 60 people, 100 people all afflicted by this virus. And hopefully when all of us stay indoors as much as possible, when we all do our due diligence and cooperate, hopefully when tomorrow comes, the number will slowly decline. And then hopefully one day it will remain zero. And will remain zero for a season of time, and those who recover will outnumber those who remained in hospital, in God's grace and mercy. And we hope that this circuit breaker will work. And then hopefully at the end of this time, you may soon be able to return step by step back to some semblance of our previous normal way of worship and fellowship face to face. But our faith must remain stable. Otherwise, your asking will not be heard by God. Because how can God answer your requests and grant you what you desire in your heart if you do not really trust Him and believe in Him, that He is really all-powerful? It is not so much a mental exercise, but rather a life experience, a life reaction. If I believe that God is all-powerful and sovereign, and then if the news comes that I have this virus, and my loved one has this virus in the front line, and then you panic, you're frightened, you're scared, and then you might even blame God. But did you not say last week that God is sovereign and God is going to take care of us? That whatever happens, I know that God makes no mistakes in my life. But that kind of reaction of murmuring and complaining, why did my son or my daughter have to be afflicted? That reaction, those words do not reflect someone who truly believes that my Heavenly Father is in sovereign, total, absolute control. And if God were to still grant you your desire with that kind of faith, God will therefore encourage us to have that kind of faith that is like the way that keeps on wavering and changing. It's not staying, it's not movable. He's in move, not step. Has to be steadfast. We therefore have to ask. And how you ask, it has to be a steadfast kind of asking. When you're able to do that, trusting the Lord will give you the wisdom to know how to deal with difficult people and difficult circumstances that become us. And I'm sure many of us as Christians, we have done that before, we have asked before, and the Lord has helped us repeatedly over and over again. Sunday school teachers do not know how to handle this passage and pray and do ask. And then within an hour or two, your preparation all fits like a hand in a glove. And then on the day itself, you pray for the filling of the Holy Spirit to help him teach. and the Lord will give you the wisdom to help you know the truth. And then the next step is pray for wisdom to apply the right doctrine to the right circumstances in life. And the Lord will give you the strength, the courage, and the knowledge, and the ability to make the right decision. And you will continue to have peace and hold on to the Lord. It must not be an asking that is not steady, steadfast, that is only good for a moment. It must be an asking that is continuous. You have to keep on asking. Don't ever stop, because sometimes God may want us to ask and then He will hold back and see how committed, whether we are going to persevere and keep on asking. If God will just simply answer all our prayer by the snap of a finger, He could. By the way that He did when He literally walked on earth, where the disciples could physically see the physical, corporeal body of Christ. Christ was there with them, side by side. Whenever they asked, He was there. He will answer them immediately. But now that the Lord is seated at God's right hand, and sometimes in certain issues and some of our prayers, God deliberately hold back and see how persistent and how persevering we are in our asking. Therefore, we have to keep on asking. Don't just ask. Sure, your faith is steady, but you don't have the perseverance to keep on asking and just ask, oh, God never answer, and then you forget about it. God says, oh, we don't want that. That is not good for us. And so God says, you keep asking, you wait. Sometimes it may be a week, sometimes it may be a month, sometimes it could be a few years. And we have seen that in the salvation of our loved ones. Remember how you prayed for so long, so many years? Oh, you do your due diligence. Of course, you be a holy witness. You share the gospel. You encourage them to come to church, and they come to church with you, and they stay in church, and they worship with you. But they have not committed themselves to the Lord and accepted Christ as Lord and as Savior. Until one amazing day, you don't even have to keep on pestering them. Suddenly, the Lord touched and moved their heart, and they on their own accord comes and tell you, I now want to attend UBK classes, basic Bible knowledge classes, because I want to be baptized. I've already accepted Christ as Lord and as Savior, and now I want to tell the whole world. And when those words just simply fell on their lips, and they enter into your ears after you have been pleading and praying to God for so long and so many years, and suddenly they just fall into place. The joy that fills your heart and the thrill that also through your whole body is inexplicable. You can't explain it. It's so wonderful. After you have that kind of persevering on asking, and now finally the Lord answered. That's why you have to keep on asking, and that's what you find in verse 7 and verse 8. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. He just simply keep on wavering. Double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So not only must his faith be steady, he has to keep on asking, persevere. Keep on asking. Don't stop. And let your faith be maintained. And the more you study God's word, the more you ask in a persevering, trusting, faith-filled manner in God's time, you will be able to see very clearly how amazing and how wonderful your Heavenly Father is. And we all have been praying since this virus started from China and then to Singapore at the turn of this new year from January. You look back, you can see the mercies and the grace of God. Today when we were in FNPC, I taught, or all of us taught for the last time. Then I was talking to the FNPC office staff, and what she remarked was so true. Oh, thank God that this shutting down of FNPC is now at the tail end of our semester. If we had been at the beginning of the semester, it would have been so much more disruptive and devastating to the student. Quite a number of them would be graduating, God willing. And so we thank God that we are able to complete many of our classes now that they have to take their exam through the internet, online, or through the internet, but you will send the exam script to them. That we're able to see the gracious hand of God in allowing us to have January, February, and March, and a few days of April to finish the semester, the grace and the mercies of God. We thank God that we can also celebrate Chinese New Year. We thank God for those moments. Of course, we cannot gather together this coming Friday for the Good Friday service. But we know that the hand of our loving Father continues to be present, holding our hand, working in our lives. Wisdom, a gift that is awaiting. Prep, already prepared for each and every child of God who is going through a difficult time. And even if not a difficult time, we all need the wisdom of God. How to turn the head knowledge and apply the right doctrine to the right circumstances in life. And once you're able to do that, you will be able to experience the nearness of God in a way that you have never seen before in your own life. And those kind of experiences that you have, they are priceless. Money can't buy those kind of experiences. To know that the great God Almighty is so near you, is there to help you in your husband-wife relationship, in your parent-child relationship, in your struggle, in your challenges, in working life, all the things, every part of your life, your Heavenly Father is present and your Lord Jesus Christ is present by your side, and you are never, never, ever alone. Wisdom, the gift that is waiting, all you need is to pass. And when you ask, be steadfast and keep asking. The 3 points, if you remember, this basically the acronym for ask. A, ask. S, steadfast. K, keep asking. And the Lord will give the wisdom that you need liberally. He will not scold you. He wants you to ask. He wants to give it to you. Why do you not wait to receive it? Study God's word and then pray for God to give you the wisdom to apply God's word into your life. So that through this difficult 4 weeks, you will be drawn closer to the Lord. At the end of it, you will be an amazing, better, spiritual child of God than you were 4 weeks ago. So by the end of this month, we all should be more spiritual than tonight, this evening. May God help us and encourage our hearts, because the Lord is always in total, absolute control. Trust Him. Don't stop. Solomon experienced God's wisdom at the start of his ministry, and he did good for the first 20 years, but he did very badly for the remaining 20 years. He reigned for 14 years. What's wrong with him? Just stop asking. Did he have the head knowledge? Yes. But when you stop asking, things will go awry. He married so many women. He had so many horses. His economy was strong. They began to lean on the arm of the flesh instead of the Lord. Was he a child of God? Definitely, no doubt. Look at his life, his wisdom. He wrote almost every proverb in the 31 chapters of the book of Proverbs. Did he know God's word? Yeah, he had the knowledge of God's word. But he failed to ask. And when he failed to ask, his life became a life of vanity. He wrote the book of Ecclesiastes as a testimony to warn us, just because you are a child of God,
doesn't mean that your life will automatically be a life of holy witness and godliness. You do not ask. So remember the acronym day, S, K, tonight. Take a bone to do it. And hold on to it, at least for the rest of the whole week, as we go through this difficult time trial, unprecedented for all of us. Ask, steadfastly, and keep asking. Don't stop. And your Heavenly Father will give to you liberally. It will not upbraid you, you will not scold you. It will embrace you. Let us pray. Our gracious, merciful, loving Heavenly Father, we thank and praise Thee that truly Thou art our loving, gracious, all-powerful Heavenly Father. We thank Thee that when we were yet Your enemies, You loved us, and You sent the Lord Jesus Christ to die on the cross for our sins, that enabled us to become sons and daughters of the Most High God. Help us never to forget that we are Your children. We are more than just servants. And as Thy blood-bought children, redeemed by the precious blood of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, You will always take care of us, for You are a God who neither slumbers nor sleeps. And nothing can ever come our way. No adversities can afflict us without Your sovereign will and permission. And if Thou hast permitted trials to come, and we are in it, like what we are going through right now, teach us to rejoice. And if we find it so hard to rejoice because we do not understand, we lack wisdom. Help us to ask. Help us to ask in a steadfast manner that will not waver like the waves of the sea tossed to and fro by the wind. Help us to persevere by keep on asking and never stop. Thus, teaching us daily to draw closer and closer to You, even as You go through this trial. May Thy Holy Spirit bring much understanding and conviction to our hearts. Bring the truth that we have learned tonight to remembrance, and grant to us the strength of faith and the steadfastness of faith to persevere in our asking. And You have promised us and assured us that the wisdom will be freely given to us, so that we may be able to respond and react and understand the many challenges that we are facing and we will continue to face in the future if the Lord heavens. Grant us all a good night rest and refresh to begin another new day tomorrow. And may we continue to pray without ceasing. Keep on asking, drawing closer to Thee all the days of our lives until we see the Lord face to face. In Jesus' most precious and holy name, we give thanks and pray. Amen. Good night, and God bless.